Because today is a day that we can wholeheartedly praise the Lord. But before we begin to do so, I just want to say that I don't want to in any sense naively pronounce victory over COVID-19 in New Zealand. Neither do I want to be insensitive to the effect that this pandemic has had on us as individuals, as a country, and even as a global community. But I do want to say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we are here today together. Together in a sense for the first time in 3 months. And there is many things to praise the Lord for. We can be thankful that He has preserved us as a country from the many potential effects that this virus could have had. We can be thankful that He has protected us and provided for us as individuals and as families and as communities. We can be thankful for the many positives that we experienced as families and flats and even as individuals as a result of being locked down. We can be thankful for the princes that the psalm speaks of, the leadership that the Lord has given, imperfect but good in this country. We can be thankful for level one and the fact that as a whole church, we can gather again to worship. In a world that is being ravaged still by this pandemic, we have much to be thankful for and we have much to praise the Lord for. And that is why this morning I want us to feast on Psalm 146. I want us to stand before the buffet that is Psalm 146, this beautiful praise psalm, and I want us to eat it all up. I want us to gobble it up together, and I want that psalm to lead us to sing praise to the Lord, the one who is ultimately responsible for the praiseworthy position that we find ourselves in today. The praiseworthy position that we find ourselves in today is because of the Lord. May it be the very thing that for today at least sustains our praise. Speaking of eating and drinking, the first course, the first two verses. In the first two verses of the psalm, we see a call to praise. A call to praise the Lord. Let me just turn back to Psalm 146 and I'll read that out for you. Says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And it's amazing to see, even in this short little call to praise, three very distinct things. There's first the general, communal, emphatic call to praise. Praise the Lord. And it seems so simple, doesn't it? That the psalmist would be telling us to praise the Lord. But it is so vitally important at the same time. We need to be reminded to praise the Lord. We can sit here in church. We can sit here in church after not meeting together for 3 months properly. And we can forget to praise the Lord. We can forget that that is the very reason why we are here. Surrounded by people praising the Lord, we are here to praise Him. When our hearts are sluggish and rusty and slow to lift our eyes to the Lord, the reminder is first to praise the Lord. The psalmist then goes on to invite us to be the worship leader for our own hearts. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Come on, soul. Come on, heart. Come on, mind, the reason, the very purpose for me being in this building today is to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. He then finally invites us to commit to praising the Lord for the rest of our lives. I will. You call me to praise, Mr. Psalmist? I will commit to praising the Lord. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being, as long as I have blood in my veins and breath in my lungs and motivation in my heart, I will praise the Lord. I will sing the song of praise to the Lord. That will be my life. I have to confess, when I first read this psalm and read this particular part of the psalm, my immediate reaction was to ask, how can he be so confident? How can he sit there and say, I will praise the Lord for the rest of my life? With every breath, I will praise the Lord. He's so definitive, isn't he? He's so perfect. He's saying, I will. It sounds like the sort of thing that you would say when you're on fire spiritually. Having a good week, you're having a good day, you've done your devotion, you've prayed a good amount of prayer, you go out and you say, I'm gonna do this for the rest of my life. But it doesn't sound like something you would say when the vitality has drained out of your spiritual veins. It sounds like something you would hesitate to say. But I think that is exactly why it is so important. Because this is not some arrogant assertion. This is not self-confidence. This is a recommitment to the very thing that he feels called to do, that he feels his life purpose revolves around. I will praise the Lord. As we read these words and as we confess them with the church, we are committing to the Lord by saying, this will define the rest of my life. This is who I am, and I will praise the Lord. One of my favorite movies of all time is Tangled. And that is a cartoon version of the Rapunzel story. And the reason it's one of my favorite movies is because of Maximus, the horse, for a start. And the reason for that is because I could listen to my son laugh at Maximus all the day long and never grow dry of the entertainment value that there is in there, the joy. But in the movie Tangled, there is this one defining line which I have always been drawn to. When Rapunzel was talking to the fake mum that had stolen her at birth, the mum is trying to keep her so she can have access to her hair. She's found out that that is not her true mum. She says this, I will never stop trying to get away from you. There is steel in her eyes and determination in her spirit. There is this spirited determination to do what she knows is right. I will never stop trying to get away from you. Now imagine that, turn it into a positive. That is the confession of the psalm. I will never stop praising you. It is a steely, gritty, determined commitment to praise the Lord. When we say we will commit to praising the Lord, we're saying on the good days and on the bad days, I'll praise you. Praise for me will not be a peripheral thing. It will not be a Sunday thing. It will define the very essence of my life. I'll praise you with every last breath. I'll not forget to praise. I'll not stop praising. I will recommit to the relentless endeavor and pursuit of praise. The psalmist invites us to praise the Lord. I just want to invite you this morning, whether you are feeling spiritually dry, feeling spiritually awakened, feeling excited or dull or distracted, or wherever you are, respond to the psalmist. Hear his call to praise the Lord. Tell your own soul it's time for praise and commit to spending the rest of your life praising the Lord with every breath. Praise the Lord. Now, if this psalm was a road, if Psalm 146 was a road, it certainly wouldn't look like the highway between Christchurch and Ashburton, which is dull and boring. It would look something like the West Coast Road of the South Island. On that road, you certainly know you're going somewhere. It is amazingly beautiful, but the turns feel sharp. After two, the psalm takes one of these sharp turns, an apologetic turn, a relevant apologetic turn for us, a turn that provides for us a healthy stimulus or a healthy perspective in a season that we are in, a season where we have much to be thankful for, because he reminds us why we praise the Lord in a context of reminding us not to put our trust in princes. He says it's the Lord who is ultimately responsible for this praiseworthy position that you're in today. He should be trusted and he should be praised. If you look at verse 3, we've rounded the corner where we've taken this sharp turn. Put not your trust in princes, and a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that day, his plans perish. He's saying, congregation, as you gather to praise, as you put your eyes on the Lord, don't come seeking to praise the Lord at the same time as trusting the princes of this world to save you. The governments, the armies, the human authorities cannot save you. The leaders, the prime minister, even the director general of health cannot save you. Why not? Because they are men. They are people, a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. Their plans perish with them. Our princes, the leaders of this world, can be used by God to bless us, but they are not ultimately responsible for saving us. They don't provide this praiseworthy position we find ourselves in. The Lord does. So don't put your trust in them or treat them as saviors. Instead, the psalmist goes on to say, instead, hope in the Lord your God. Look to the God of Jacob for your help. Trust in him. Praise him for the position you're in. This is where true blessing lies. If you cast your eyes down again to verse 5, echoing Psalm 1 and other blessed psalms, we see him say, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord God. He's saying, if you want to be truly blessed, if you want to truly come into this life of joy and blessing, then put your hope in the Lord and trust in him. Look to him for help. Why would we do something like that? Because as the creator of the world, he has remained faithful to those who are in desperate need. He reigns today forevermore. God can, does, and has saved us. Listen to the way he lists what God has done from verse 6 through to verse 10. He's just shotgunning us with the glory of God. Just bang, bang, bang. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. The Lord provides for every need. He is the one who has made heaven and earth, the sea that is in them. We have a place because of the Lord, who keeps faith forever. He has remained faithful to that creation, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. It's he who provides justice. It's him who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. He's saying that there are so many situations where we have a human need which we cannot overcome by ourselves, under our own strength, or even with the princes of this world. But the Lord has provided for you in that situation. There are twin realities that he is at pains to point out in this psalm. The absolute human vulnerability that we have, even in the normal living of life. Hunger. But in the broadest spectrum of life, being imprisoned. But he's at the same time saying the Lord has perfectly provided in this situation. The princes, they cannot help you. They cannot provide for you perfectly. You need the Lord God. There is this humbling and beautiful reality in the psalm where he is impressing upon us the glory of the Lord and our hopelessness to escape the situations we, humanly speaking, find ourselves in. We see this dynamic perfectly on display in our Savior Jesus Christ. One of the most astounding things that Jesus did in his short career we find in Luke chapter 4. This is at the beginning of his 3-year career, if you like. And in Luke chapter 4, he goes into Nazareth. He walks into the synagogue. He unrolls the scroll of Isaiah. He turns to chapter 61, whatever that looked like, I imagine, after a lot of rolling, and he says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he, the Lord God, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Later in that psalm, he would say, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I am here." He's saying he is the Messiah. He's saying he is the promised servant of Isaiah 61. And he is saying, "I have come and I am here to provide for you in every situation of human vulnerability. I am here to provide you for your perfect needs, the perfect provision of God. You cannot save yourselves. I am here to rescue you, to proclaim liberty, to give sight to the blind, to give liberty to the oppressed, to proclaim the Lord's favor." And this is a radical claim. You know, this could have been, this is why Jesus was either a madman or telling the truth, because this is a radical claim, and they could have stoned him in that very situation, but he went on in his life to demonstrate that this was exactly what he was here for, and he did that most clearly on the cross when he provided for the ultimate human need, which is the curse of the fall, relational distance to God because of our sin. He dealt with that sin, of course, by taking responsibility for it, by dying the death that we deserve to pay, so that through faith and forgiveness we could be made right with God and inherit eternal life. Jesus reminds us in perfection what the psalmist is at pains to remind us here, that it is the Lord who saves. It is he, the Lord, who saves you. And he's saying, if you want to live a blessed life, then hope in him and look to him to help you. We're in a season right now where we have so much to be thankful for, where we have tuned in to the midday updates for however many weeks, and we have seen and celebrated the princes of this world as they have gone to work. And the psalmist is reminding us, as you come here to praise the Lord, don't come here thinking that it is because of those princes that you're here. Come celebrating the Lord who has provided. We are here partly because we're a team of 5 million, but ultimately because of the provision of the Lord. And that is why the psalm appropriately ends again with the call to praise the Lord. We have so much to be thankful for in a context of brokenness and pandemic, and it is the Lord who we are called to praise for the reason that we stand here today. Let's do so this morning. Lord, we want to praise you for the way that you have provided for us. We want to praise you for the gifts and abilities that you have given to the princes of this world. We want to praise you for the medical professionals, the technological professionals, and all those who have helped in this country to get us to the position where we are today. But we want to say, Lord, that we know that it is ultimately you that has provided this situation for us. And it is ultimately you who we will continue to praise. Praise the Lord. We ask that you would help us, Lord, as we seek to praise. We ask that you would help us commit to this lifelong praise journey. We ask that you would give us help by your Holy Spirit, that it would be intuitive, that it would be ongoing, that it would be regular, that it would be organic rather than artificial. We pray that you would so delight us with your glory that praise would come naturally. We pray that we would reflect on and see the way that you have saved us again and again and again in so many different contexts, Lord, but ultimately in our salvation. We look to you with hope, Lord, and we ask you for help. You are the Lord God, and in you there is salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.